Good afternoon, everyone. I trust everyone's having a wonderful Sabbath day. I was sitting there and looking at those kids and realized that I was that age when I was attending in the Church of God. But I didn't have the ambition or the strength to be able to get up in front like these kids just did. And you just got to pat them on the back for being willing to do that. They sounded awesome. We just come back from the Feast of Tabernacles to describe a wonderful time in the future. We can look at all the promises that we heard about at the Feast of Tabernacles, the promises from God of how he's going to make the world of that day so different from today. We now have come back to our daily lives of facing this world, this wicked world that Satan has created. As we look at ourselves within Satan's world, it's easy to become discouraged. If we focus on this world, if we focus on the atrocities of this world, if we focus on our physical ailments and the diseases that people have to face, if we dwell on that, we can become discouraged. We can hear of the details of war in Israel and Gaza. These details are vividly described, are so horrible. If we dwell on that, it can affect us in our way of thinking. What human beings are willing to do to other human beings today is simply not godly. It's not godly. It's not according to what we just heard of the way the millennium is going to be. God has allowed us to understand his plan, and we know things are going to get much worse than what they are right now before Jesus Christ intervenes. We talked to some at the feast that were going through severe trials. You can look into their eyes and see sadness. We could see tears welling up, going down the cheeks. We see the pain in their face. This is reality that God's people have to face in Satan's world. God's people are facing trials within a horrible world. Many here locally are going through their own trials as we are in the midst of this world, even some having to come home from the feast. If we focus on those negatives all the time, we can become discouraged or depressed. Satan's world is masterfully designed by Satan to discourage us. I want to say that again. Satan's world is masterfully designed by Satan to discourage us, to wear us down so that we choose to quit. God's promise is he will never leave us or forsake us all the way to the end. But Satan knows we can make a choice, that we could choose to quit. And he's striving to get each one of us to do that. God has taught us throughout the Bible that our mindset and the way we think is extremely important as we move forward in time. What we're facing right now and what we're going to have to face in our future, our mindset, the way we think, is going to be very important. Will we be focused on Satan's world, the physical, the ailments, the horrible atrocities that are detailed in the nightly news? Or will we be focused on God's promises that he has laid before us, that he has taught us? The future, this is all going to go away. But he's taught us promises, told us promises that we can focus upon. What do God's promises mean to all of us today? Do we think about them very often? How important are God's promises? Today I would like to focus on the promises that God gives to each and every one of us. God has recorded many thousands of promises within the Bible. I would like to know how many thousands of promises there is in this Bible. I don't know. There's many, many promises. We have faith, or we have a belief. We have a hope that God, what he says to us, knowing that he cannot lie, that all will come to the truth and be true and yet in our future. If you'd like a title for this message, the title is Focusing on God's Promises. Focusing on God's Promises. Brethren, as we hear one of our brethren going through a trial, as we see the pain that they're going through, it hurts to watch as they tell their story. It hurts when we see the sadness, when we see the tears in their eyes, and see the pain in their face. That's reality in their world right now. It drives to reality within my thinking that Satan is attacking each one of us daily. He's trying to get our focus into an area that God does not want us to be focused upon. He's trying to wear us down so that we will quit and give up. Part of our training ground today is that we have to face these difficulties. God could have designed this in so many ways. We know he's perfect in everything he does. What all of us have to go through, what we have to witness, is for a purpose, and we have to understand that. We have to trust that we need to go through these things. God is using this time in this world to spiritually train each one of us. The way we think, the way we act, the priorities in our life, our focus. God wants us to be focused on his promises that he has taught us. I went and wrote down, I wrote down nine promises real quick. And I just want to quote real quick these nine scriptures. And I'm going to ask, please don't try to turn to them, but pay a close attention to every promise that I'm about to say. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 41:13. "For I, the eternal your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." These are promises from God. Psalms 32, verse 8. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." Matthew 11, 28 and 29. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Eternal, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Promises from God. If we confess our sins in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can go on and on. I think I've read enough. You could read and you could make lists that you could read for hours, the promises that God has given to each one of us. For the first scripture, let's go to Revelation chapter 21. First scripture that I'd like to turn to. which describing God's promises to each of us, after all of this world will be gone. A new heaven and a new earth will be there. No human beings. It's going to be after that time. All of us that submit will be a part of the God family at that time. Those who refuse will be erased. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 3. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." In other words, God's dwelling place is with men, not human beings. The human beings that had been called, given his spirit, he began a process with, they submitted to him, and they were resurrected or changed in the twinkling of an eye as spirit being. A promise of eternal life. It says, "The dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." This wicked world will have been passed away. This is a promise from God that we can focus on when we're going through horrible times, when we have the tears and the sadness and the pain. We can focus on this. God promises at the end of this world that he will take care of us for all eternity. Brethren, if we focus on Satan's world, we're going to feel anxious. We're going to feel scared. We're going to feel afraid. We will be mentally tormented and overwhelmed if our focus is on what Satan wants us to focus on. Our mindset will be damaged. Satan has designed this world to discourage us and wear us down spiritually. God has provided us everything that we need. He's promised us thousands of things. The Bible reveals that our only hope is God. I cannot save myself. None of you can save me. No human being can save each other. We can only encourage each other. We can only help each other. God expects us to be focusing on him and on his promises. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. You might have heard this at the feast, where he replaces sorrow with joy. Jeremiah 31, verse 12. "Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the eternal, for wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd. Their souls or their lives shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn their mourning to joy, will comfort them and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. I will satiate the soul of the priest with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Eternal." God's promises during the millennium is just wonderful. A totally different world. This world will... people will experience joy, happiness, contentment. Try to remember all those promises that were read at the Feast of Tabernacles and was focused upon. It's a positive time that God promises. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Here we're going to see that it is very important that we hold fast our hope, our faith, and our belief in God. It's a focus, it's a mindset that can occur within our thinking. We can create a very negative approach in our thinking, or we can follow God's promises and create a very positive one. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God is the one that's promised, and he is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. If you see someone in pain or tears in their eyes, it's our role to help them, to stir up the love and the good works, to encourage them, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We read here that it is very important to have this hope and this belief of what God has taught us. It's something that we can't physically see or touch. It's in our belief system. It's in our faith. It's in our hopes. It's promises that God has told us that will occur. It has to be strong. Let's go to John chapter 14. Here we're going to see Jesus telling us something very important to remember. He's talking to you and he's talking to me. John chapter 14, let's begin in verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't allow your thinking, your mindset, the way you're made up, don't allow it to be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Our only hope is God. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Brethren, we can take to the bank that Jesus Christ is preparing a place for each and every one of us. We can believe that. We can have a faith in this. We can have this hope to look forward to and within our mindset. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A promise that he gives to each one of us. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, believe him. Believe this, that he's preparing a place for us and he's going to come back and get us, that we can be with them for eternity. He's saying it's important that we focus on this in our minds, not focusing on things that would be troubling, but that would be encouraging, that he teaches us. Christ then said that he had to go and prepare this place, and he's going to come back for every one of us. In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, I'm going to quote this for you. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. God promises that he will always be with us. We're human beings. This wicked world wears us out at times. We're rolling on this roller coaster, ups and downs. Sometimes we're positive, sometimes we're discouraged and depressed. He says, I'm going to be there for us, for you. I would love to hear today the conversations that God the Father and Jesus Christ has about me and you. What do they say about us? How real is it of what they're doing in our individual lives to help me spiritually mature, to overcome the negative mindset, my negative traits, sinning, going all this negative garbage in this world to submit to God's promises. Can you imagine the conversations with angels that they have about me, about you, to help each one of us reach the end? God gave promises to Abraham that are extremely important. God promises us the kingdom of God, that we have an inheritance to be a part of his family. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. We know this is the faith chapter. We've been talking a lot about this faith, this belief, this hope that we are to be focused upon. God put into Scripture here at this chapter human beings that he was working with, that each one had to overcome things. It wasn't an easy road for any of us, for any of them. We read about these faithful brethren who believed God's promises. They believed them to the end of their lives, but yet they still haven't received them yet. Let's read here in Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Everything with God, we can't physically see with our eyes. We can't feel it. He teaches us about the kingdom of God. We must believe it. We have to have evidence and faith in this of something that we can't physically touch and see. He's asking us to have this faith like he did some of these human beings. Going over to verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. We have to have faith that God exists. We can't physically see him. We can't touch him. We don't even talk to him. As far as a normal conversation as a human being would have a conversation. But he's saying we must have this faith and believe that he exists. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He provides us these promises. There's a faith and a belief and a hope that we have to have knowing who gave us these promises. And knowing that he will not lie and they will come to fruition. Down to verse 8. By faith Abraham obeyed when he called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned, or he resided as a temporary residence. He didn't see this earth as his home. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country. It wasn't his home, it was a foreign country. Dwelling in tents, temporary residence, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. God provided promises to Abraham, passed down to Isaac and Jacob. These promises were true, and Abraham had a faith in God, believed him with what he was telling him. Verse 10, for he, Abraham, waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. New Jerusalem. Abraham was taught about New Jerusalem. He had faith. He had a belief. He had a hope in this promise that it made a difference in the way he thought. In the way he acted, the submitting to God that he did. Going over to verse 13. These all died in faith, believing God, having a hope in what God is teaching us. They had faith in him, not having received the promises, but having seen the promises afar off, they were assured of them, They embraced these promises and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Brethren, this set of scripture teaches us that it is extremely important, our focus. Our focus, just like the focus was with Abraham and all of these human beings that were listed in Hebrews 11. The faith, the belief system, and the hope of what God was teaching them, of what God was promising them. Verse 14, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. They didn't see this world as their home. They were looking for something more important that God was promising them. Verse 15, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. They, it says here in verse 16, that they desired this. It was in their thinking process. It was in their mindset. It was in what they were focusing on. It made a difference in their actions, the way they lived their life. All of God's faithful here that are dead had their focus on God's promises. It said they hadn't received them yet. Let's go down to verse 39. It says, and all these human beings listed in this chapter, having obtained a good testimony through faith, they developed this faith, this belief in God, they did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for all of us who are still alive, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Brethren, they are still dead right now, and they still haven't received the promises yet. But verse 40 clearly says that we all, when that resurrection and the changing and the twinkling of an eye occurs, we're all going to receive God's promise together as a family, as a one body, like-minded as we submit under Jesus Christ and God the Father. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Brethren, let's strive to focus on all the promises that God gives to us. You know, we didn't talk a whole lot about all the promises relating to the kingdom of God, the ultimate promise of all, of being a part of his family for all eternity, and we don't even know what that means, what they have planned for us for all eternity. But they've done so. They've prepared our future, and we can have faith and a belief that they will take care of us forever. And we know it's going to be wonderful. Revelation 3, beginning in verse 11. It says, behold, Jesus saying here, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Satan would love to take any of our crowns. God has provided us an inheritance, a promise to be a part of his family for all eternity. Christ says, hold fast what you have and don't let anyone take your crown. Verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Do you believe and have faith that this will occur, that God is going to provide us a new name that links us to God himself? links us to this city whose builder and maker is God. This is a promise that we can focus on when things get bad, when we are discouraged or depressed. These promises are huge. Down to verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Brethren, what does this mean? This promise of sitting on a throne alongside Christ. It's a promise. What it all entails and how it all fits down the road, it doesn't even matter. We've got to be there. We've got to get there. We must endure to the end, just like Abraham, just like those in Hebrews 11. Their mindset, what they were focused on, was extremely important. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 21. This is where we started, and I would like to end with the scriptures. Read a few more than what we read before. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Brethren, when we're looking at this world today, as wicked as it is, the atrocities that are described so vividly, the torture that human beings does to other human beings, God promises us that this world will be no longer. This is temporary. Purely temporary. Only for a time. It's going to go away. God has planned a new heaven and a new earth, to whatever detail that's going to be once we are there. Verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, and he saw it in vision. He saw this city whose builder and maker was God. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. This made a difference to Abraham and those in Hebrews 11, that they kept fighting. Their mental mindset was huge because of this. It was recorded by God. It had to make a huge difference in these individuals' lives to be focused on that future of what God has planned for us. This new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. All those human beings that will now be spirit beings, God's going to be dwelling with us. And he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. I wish we knew what all that meant in pure detail. I think God will blow us away with what he has planned for us. Verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Those people, or that person that we saw at the feast with tears, wiped away every tear from their eyes. They're never going to have a tear again. There shall be no more death, no sorrow nor crying, and there shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. Brethren, God's saying, I believe, let's focus on God's promises. God has laid out so much for all of us. He wants us to seek him. Focus on him. Focus on what he's teaching us. Focus on his promises that he gives to us. Brethren, we have more to face of this ugly, wicked world of Satan's. Christ said he had to go and prepare a place for each of us. He promised us that he will return for us and we will be with him for eternity. All of the faithful brethren of Hebrews 11 had been taught God's promises. They were assured by these promises. It says they embraced these promises. They desired these promises. They desired the promise of their permanent home, whose builder and maker is God. We need to add our names to the list of those individuals in Hebrews chapter 11 and keep our focus on God's promises. Brethren, let's be faithful and be focusing on God's promises each and every day.